I could get in a lot of trouble for a message like this, and I remember asking the executive director if it would be all right if I did a message such as this, because when we do prophecy conferences, certainly this is the top five, in the top five of the questions I get all the time, is why are Jewish people liberal? Especially as it relates to support for Israel, it seems that conservatives support Israel far more than liberals do. So why is it that Jewish people seem to be more liberal? As we talk about this, I'm going to preface it in a number of ways before we actually get into it. First of all, in July 8th of this year, Michael Medved, that name might be familiar to some of you. Michael Medved is an Orthodox Jewish man. He's on the radio, Christian radio. The radio affiliates are almost all Christian that he happens to be on. And he wrote an article because he is a person who moved from being liberal to very, very conservative. His mother and father both very, very liberal, raised in a liberal home, he himself was. And so he wrote this article because in our country right now, it's becoming thick, in case you haven't noticed. And those who haven't noticed, good for you. I pay attention to those things. I've been encouraged and exhorted sometimes to pay more attention to the scripture and the word and less to what's going around me. So that I have to work on. But what he did was take his mother as the backdrop, knowing the way she was, and he wrote a piece about lessons that we all should keep in mind, him particularly, and he was the one writing it. And as he wrote it, he was talking about his mother, Renata, and how she would deal with the things going on today. And he came up with three ideas, or I extracted three ideas from that particular piece that he did. Number one was a reminder, don't demonize public employees. If those of you familiar with the economic situation we're in, a lot of times different groups get in, and certainly the federal government, the city government, the state government. It's just a reminder that there are hardworking people across the board, and don't demonize people. Number two, embrace immigrants. Very important. Look, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for immigrants. My four grandparents came from different parts of Eastern Europe, met in the United States. His background was the same way. But because of the political climate we face, I think sometimes we forget that, and so we should embrace the concept of immigrants. How we sort that out is a different story, but yes, the country welcomes people from everywhere. And number three, family trumps political differences. I'll be sharing with you in a short while. My family, except for a couple people, is virtually all liberal, as liberals could be. And it's important to step over that somehow, to find a way over that. And in my case, even to find a way over the idea that I'm a believer and somehow be able to relate that, yes, we are family, and that's really important. What I'm going to talk about is not political. It's not. Now, by all means, we're going to have dinner afterwards and over an hour or about an hour in between. If you feel this was political, you come up and talk to me. I have no problem with that. You can criticize me. Tell me why I'm out to lunch. I've heard it enough, so that's okay. And we can talk about it. But the purpose, at least, to express to you, I'm not for one party or another as I stand up here. This is not a message advocating that American Christians should be a part of a particular party. That's not the purpose of it at all, but it's simply given in response to a question. And so far when I've done it, and I've done it twice, I've had people come up to me thankful because it's always been difficult for them, and they got at least a little handle on it as they interact with their Jewish friends, and it will be helpful to them. Well, I just went online. What's the definition of a liberal? Liberals having a political or social view favoring reform, progress, tolerant of change, not bound authoritarianism, orthodoxy, or tradition. That's kind of a generic definition of what it means to be a liberal. And from what it means to be a conservative, it is, the name suggests, it usually indicates support for tradition, traditional values, though the meaning has changed in different countries and time periods. So it's moving to tradition and traditional values. That's where conservatives come into play. Now, major issues. You might want to help me later on and share your list. This was just my list, short list. Doesn't encompass every aspect, but an American liberal is going to be in favor or on this side. First, they like large governments. They are pro-abortion. They are pro-gay marriage. They are usually for high taxes and less military and more dialogue. And when it comes to the statement in the Constitution that says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, liberals take that statement, that statement that is, quote, right from the Constitution, and say the interpretation of that is a separation of church and state. So a liberal would absolutely hold to the division of church and state as it relates to government. A conservative, on the other hand, is usually for small government. They usually are pro-life. They usually are for marriage between one man and one woman. They usually are for less taxes and for a strong military. And they'll take the constitutional statement and simply say that what the founding fathers wanted us to be reminded of is that America should protect people's right to practice their religion. A conservative would argue that America was always a religious country, but it was a religious country protecting people's right to not practice religion if they chose, or any other religion outside of the ones that the founding fathers framed. So that would be the difference between a liberal and a Jewish person. And as we begin, we want to consider a few things. From the Bible, keep this in mind. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Very important. There is a way which seems right to a man. That statement you can apply in a lot of different areas. And certainly as it relates to our world view of things. So there's a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So we realize, at least from our point of view, God's word is the only source of total truth. God's word is truth. It is possible to take that truth and misinterpret it. By the way, as you read through the book of Acts and you remember that Paul went to, when he was in Berea, they checked the apostle Paul out after he spoke. They searched the scriptures. It didn't matter who spoke. They were going to verify that speaker's truth or error based on the word of God. That's a great principle to have. And I think it's important for every local fellowship to have that. The elders do their best, so they bring a person like me. And to be quite honest, whether it's in the context of eldership or at other churches, it's the pastor, when they give up the pulpit, they're in a sense hoping, don't mess it up for us. When a guest speaker comes, he could mess it up for them. It's important to discern and try to figure out, is this person going to give us what we need to hear? But even their best efforts can sometimes fail. And I've heard horror stories myself of people who've come in. So it's important to know that the word is true, it's God's word, but that it's possible that it could be misunderstood. Due to the fall, man is predisposed to disobey God. So these are important things to consider as we look at why Jewish people are liberal. Let me give you a little background. I come from a Jewish background, and I already told you it's liberal. These were, in my family, and when I say that, I married into a family that has had Christians in it for at least three generations. So my background, I was actually the second in my family. My sister came to know the Lord before I did. But there hadn't been, to my knowledge, any Christians at all. I wasn't part of that community. So topics in my home were different than topics in her home. So when we discussed growing up the old country, Goyim came up quite a bit. Gentiles. Specifically as it relates to Eastern European Gentiles. It wasn't positive. Not even in the least bit. You might have dirt on this level and Goyim maybe over about there. It wasn't good. The reason is there was so much persecution. That was what drove my grandparents out of the old country and to the United States. Cossacks. Those were, if you remember, Fiddler on the Roof. If you've ever seen the movie or the play, you know the wedding scene particularly when the Cossacks, the police, come in and tear everything apart. Very bad. I mean, I didn't hear it often. When I did, it was not uncommon for one of my grandparents. It's a very kind of Jewish thing. If you're either trying to seal a deal or you don't like somebody, you kind of poof, spit like that. That's what they would do when Cossacks, the word came up, they would do that. Holocaust and Hitler, real negative topic. A topic that could sometimes bring tears. My family, like many families, were touched by the Holocaust. Although I was born after the event, I know the history in my own family involved a city called Chnatova, about 60 miles north of Warsaw, where several of my family members were shot by the SS in their square, in the head, and it was over. And I heard about that. So it was a negative, very negative thing to talk about. Christians and Jesus Christ. Negative. Bad deal. Christians, not so good for us. But we're in America, so let them do what they want. That's fine. They're good for being neighbors. We could go to school with them and work with them. That's fine. But that's about it, because we don't want any part of Jesus Christ. Nothing but trouble. You stay on your side, we'll stay on our side, and everybody's happy. So it was really a negative topic. Intermarrying. Oh, a Jewish person marrying a shiksa. Shiksa is a female Gentile. A shegetz is a male Gentile. So, that Yiddish is a kind of interesting language, because when you say it, you almost know if it's good, bad. You almost know. So if you hear shiksa, that's not a good thing. And Alice certainly had a run-in with that, although I was already a shegetz because of my decision for Christ. I kind of went over the line. Sometimes they put me back on the line. It's hard to explain. But anyway, intermarriage, a very negative thing to talk about. Now, there were some positive topics in our house. Anytime the grandparents were brought up, great topic, happy topic. Everybody was happy. Bar mitzvahs and weddings, and weddings only if it's a Jewish person marrying a Jewish person. And remember, it jumps to a negative. But very happy thing, talked about all the time. Any Jewish person who became famous, that goes on all the time. If a person, you name it, in athletics, in Hollywood, it didn't matter if they were religious. It didn't. In fact, most of the time, the fact that they practiced or didn't practice was not the issue. Just knowing they were Jewish. So when I was younger, Sammy Davis Jr., you remember that, he converted to Judaism. He became one of our own. I mean, that was big. You name the person, we talked about them. Oh, did you know that this person is Jewish? That was a very positive thing. Moses, very popular in our house. Moses was a biggie, and is a biggie in Jewish homes, and talked about often. America, a very positive topic. The Golden Medina, the golden country, the golden land. In my home, my father was a veteran of World War II. America, the country of America, positive. We put out our flags for each of the special days and stood proudly at, if we'd be at a ball game or something. My father was very strong on, this is our country, it's a good country, we're blessed by this country, very important, and that's a Jewish thing too. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, very positive. Now, I realize I could be in a place where FDR might not sound too good to you. Talk to my wife. I found that out quickly when we first were married, and blending of cultures. FDR, from a Jewish point of view, is high on the list. Real important person. And we'll talk about that. The government. The government is good from a Jewish point of view. And I'll be sharing why. But it was a positive topic to talk about. Let me give you a view on my family's view on politics. Here it is. Republicans are the party of the rich. So if you're Republican, you're rich. If you're a Democrat, you're the party for the middle class. That was the way we were schooled. That's what we believed. Republicans are the party of exclusion. But Democrats are the party of inclusion. That was the perception. And there are numerous examples, countlessly told, to make me feel that way. Now, my parents were declared independents, but practical Democrats. And I'll share that with you. Now, here's their voting record. If you notice, there was only one time when they did not vote for a Democrat. In fact, the last time the majority of Jewish people voted for a Republican goes all the way back to 1920. So if you notice my parents' track record, Jimmy Carter, his second term, and if you know some of the things that went on with Carter and in relationship to the economy, in relationship to Jewish people, and he's getting worse by the moment. But from my parents' point of view, every other time they voted Democrat. 78% of Jewish people last election voted for Barack Obama. Among the African American community, 95% of African Americans voted for Barack Obama. 90% of the time, African Americans will vote Democrat. They are the most loyal Democrats in the country. Jewish people, on the other hand, in the last time the Congress, the last vote was 87% of the time. In 2008, they voted for, they voted Democrat. And you can count on the Jewish population almost 74% of the time to vote Democratic. They're the second most loyal Democrats in the country. And there's three reasons, and we want to talk about them. First, liberalism is consistent with the flight from Jewish orthodoxy to liberal Judaism. That is, I believe you can trace the move that Jewish people have made because from a religious point of view, they moved away from orthodoxy and towards reform or liberal Judaism. Liberalism provides a feel-good comfort. Liberalism feels good, and that's an important concept. Liberalism also is a safeguard for the Jewish people because they're frightened of Christians and Christianity. The liberal position of a secular government dividing the church and state from their point of view ensures their safety. I personally think they're wrong about that, but that's the belief, and it's pretty much entrenched, and although it is changing a little bit. But thus, the majority of American Jews take the liberal view that government and secularism are the means to protect them from persecution. That's the position your typical Jewish person would take today. Now, the first point, the orthodox biblical view held by God is this: be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's a biblical position. The Jewish people were called to be a separate, unique, one-of-a-kind people. And from the time it was given to them till today, it's been a struggle amongst Jewish people to be that way. Oftentimes, we don't want to be that way. And it's not uncommon to have the majority, the overwhelming majority of people, be that way. I can give you Elijah. You remember Elijah? Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one left. Well, I got to tell you, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't quite that bad. There were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. But the biblical position is for God's people to be a separate and unique people. No other gods but Him. That's what the scripture teaches them. Yet, we have a problem. If you were here last night, it's my problem and it's all my people's problem. And I would argue from an individual point of view, it might be your problem as well. We're stubborn. We're stiff-necked. We're hard-hearted. And so God tells us to do certain things. We have trouble with obedience or conformity to Him. That's the problem that Jewish people have. 1 Samuel tells us that there was a problem when the Jewish people looked at their Gentile neighbors. Said, they got a king. What do we have? We only have the king of the universe ruling over us. They have a king, and look at the pomp and the circumstance. What do we have? We have a tabernacle, and later we'll have a temple, and it's got a room that only the priest can enter once. That, what kind of... No, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. That is a fundamental problem amongst God's chosen people. By the way, it's a fundamental problem amongst all people, but particularly as it relates biblically as you trace the Jewish people. This is a quote from the chief rabbi in Great Britain. Here's what he says. I ask students what they are. Someone gets up and says, I'm a Catholic. I know they're Catholic. If they say I'm a Protestant, I know they're Protestant. If someone says I'm a human being, I know they're Jewish. That's in Great Britain. The idea of staying away from even identifying ourselves as Jewish is a problem because we want to blend in. We want to be like everybody else. And by the way, let's go back in Egypt after God did a wonder, 10 plagues. Moses held up his staff, the sea parts, all that happens. And what happens when he takes a little too long to come down from the mountain? They build an idol. They want to be like the Egyptians that had them in slavery. During the time of the prophets, God raised up individuals to call them back to himself. They were worshiping Baals. Under Ezra and Nehemiah, interesting period of time, Cyrus, raised up by God to let the Jewish people go back, proclaiming, go back to the land, build your temple. That's great, you have my blessing. Go. Less than 50,000, the majority, the overwhelming majority, quite frankly said, you know what, business is good here. I like it here. Got my family here. Things are nice. What do I want? They haven't even built it yet. It's rough. It's crazy, dangerous. I'm staying here. The Hellenists. This comes closer to many of us when we start reading in the Gospels, the intertestamental period was a time where there was Jewish compromise continually, the Greek culture, the appeal of the Greeks, and Jewish people were attracted to it. And so you had people who were Jewish who were actually willing to run naked in the games that the Greeks had. Hellenists. The Reform Jewish movement started in Germany in the late 1800s, was really a moving away from the traditions of Judaism, which were at least rooted in the Word of God. As a result of persecution and difficulty and liberal thinking, lots of different reasons, that's why you look at and you see the history of Marxism and communism as they were persecuted in Eastern Europe. The thing that appealed to them was not running to God and falling down before Him and repenting and turning to Him and saying, help us. Instead, it was an appeal to man. There were sound secular reasons why communism would be appealing to them. All for one and one for all, sharing the wealth. They were all poor. Let's share together, work together. Communism was very appealing. My grandfather in Cleveland, Ohio, was one of the first socialists to help organize a group and stood on the street corners preaching, but wasn't preaching the gospel, but he was a socialist. And so, and today we have Jewish people involved in the post-Zionist movement. That is, they are moving away even from saying that the Jewish people should have their own homeland. These are Jewish people, and they're post-Zionists. Today, 16% of the Jewish population attends service once a week. That's compared to 32% of all Americans. So Jewish people are, as a group in our country, don't attend services very often. 31% say that Judaism is important to them. That's compared to 52% of Americans who will tell you their faith is very important to them. So Jewish people are, as it relates to secularism, are more secular than the average American person is. 47% of the time they're marrying out of their faith. And 50% are members of a synagogue, or 50% are not members of a synagogue. 10% of Jewish people today would call themselves observant. Now, when you talk to a Jewish person who is liberal, they will give you a biblical reason why they should be. Now, that sounds strange, but liberals, Jewish liberals, will often appeal to the Bible, which they generally, I would say, they hold it to being a nice piece of literature, but that's it, but will justify their liberalism by quoting verses from the Bible. And so the Isaiah 58:10 is a big one for them. If you extend your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. There's an appeal to their background as Jewish people, the Bible, to justify what they're going to do with their liberalism. How do they do that? Very simply. Jewish people believe that the government is the administrator in helping other people. From a Jewish point of view, we want to help other people. In fact, there's another principle called Tikkun Olam. And Tikkun Olam is an idea of repairing the world. It's an orthodox concept. The concept is the world is not in the perfect state that it was. God created the world perfect. It's not any longer. God's giving man an opportunity to repair the world, to join him or even help him to repair the world. How do we do that? The orthodox idea of Tikkun Olam is we repair the world by obeying God's commands, doing mitzvahs. So the Orthodox Jew would say, yes, the world needs repair. Yes, I can assist him in doing it. The way to do it is to listen to his word. The liberal takes the concept of Tikkun Olam and replaces the idea of mitzvahs and good deeds to getting involved in government and voting for issues so the government will help repair the world. So there's a mixture of the religious thinking and putting it into secular terms. And so today you can go on and talk to many Jewish people involved even in synagogues, and you'll hear this term over and over again, Tikkun Olam. But they do it in reference to the government. It's amazing that so much faith is placed in the government. Jewish people believe that the government has helped them through the years, and that's where they're placing their emphasis. An important concept. So, most Jewish liberals are for social justice. They very much are for social justice and believe the government is the best agency to do that. Now, if you go back in history, you know a little bit about the Age of Enlightenment, and you know that that was a period of time when, coming out of the Dark Ages, we have the rise of intellectualism and culture and reason and science. That infiltrated universities. And interestingly enough, when my grandparents' age came to this country at the turn of the 20th century and started to have children, most of the Jewish people was located in, quite frankly, in the Northeast, most of them, particularly in New York. And at the time that they were being raised, some interesting things happened in relation to the universities. New York had a system for a number of years where they provided free tuition. Now, the university was very attracted to the teachings of the Enlightenment era. And that coupled with free education, you had all these children of Eastern Europeans coming into the United States and learning about this and seeing the opportunities, seeing reason, comparing it to some superstition that their parents might have had, these conservative, traditional ideas out of Europe, and the newness of America, they were transformed by the thousands through the university system. And so many Jews who attended universities like that came back home, so to speak. They were pretty much living at home anyway. But in a sense, one day that after they graduated, it was like they rejected almost all the ways of their parents. So, FDR, I want to continue the idea of how liberalism feels good. And again, I'll use my wife's family comparison to mine. You know, her family, you say FDR, and, you know, there's a rolling of the eyes, and okay, and all that. And I've traveled enough around to meet a lot of conservative people. It's interesting to me, one of the reasons FDR is held in such high esteem is because many people that I know in the Jewish community say, look, without him, my parents, and I can say that now, my parents, my father's now deceased, but my mother is able to live independently as a result of Social Security. Now, you might not like that, and you can argue a lot of different things. I'm just saying they like that. That's real important. And I have to tell you, I met a number of believers who are conservative who cash their Social Security checks. So, you know, you have this stress and strain. I don't like you, but thank you very much. And that's the way it is. Same thing could be said for Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. Medicaid was passed during that period of time. And again, you'll hear that kind of talk, but has Medicaid helped and impacted people? The answer is, I believe it has. Got to sort all that out. But from a Jewish point of view, these are very attractive things. When Jewish people early on would look for private jobs, it was difficult because they were Jewish, even in this country. The government, on the other hand, welcomed them. And so it's not surprising that, and this is, would be years ago, teachers, social workers, lawyers got where they were educated and then got jobs working there, getting involved in unions oftentimes, and thrilled for the opportunity. Just think it's the greatest thing going. And, you know, again, you could talk about it. This is why, man, this is great. Look at, if you got a teaching job, if you worked for the government, I remember my parents saying, get a government job. That's what you need. They'll take care of you for life. That was the mentality. And there is, well, Zell Miller, some of you might, yeah, he's coming up. Let me quote him first. Zell Miller, who's not Jewish, Zell Miller is a conservative. He comes out of the Democratic Party. And Zell Miller was asked about, wait a minute, you're talking like a conservative. Why do you call yourself a Democrat? And he said, well, it's like having a birthmark. It's hard to get rid of. There is the sense of loyalty that Jewish people have. And so even what attracted them several years ago and might not be the case today, it doesn't matter. They're pretty loyal when it comes to that background. So, look, Israel was recognized under Harry Truman, a Democrat. Social programs that have ministered to my community, the Jewish people, came through the Democrats. Unions, which are very important to teachers and social workers and other people, very much supported and encouraged from a Jewish point of view. Government expansion, Democrats did that, and that's appealing to a Jewish person. And so all these things, which you might read as negative, become positive from a Jewish point of view. Now, within Judaism, you can have atheist Jews, agnostic Jews, New Age Jews, socialist Jews, communist Jews, homosexual Jews. You can have all different kinds of Jewish people. And while they all might be different and argue amongst themselves, here's one thing that unites them almost every single time. And that is, they'll say there's no such thing as a Jewish Christian. So if I were to argue, hey, I'm Jewish, they would say, absolutely not. You're not Jewish. Now, you could be atheist and Jewish. You could be communist and Jewish. You could be a New Ager and Jewish. That's fine. But if you believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Bible, you're not considered Jewish. Now, let me give you, I believe, the fundamental reason. This is the fundamental reason. Here you have Reverend Jesse Jackson, okay? And here you have the Reverend Jerry Falwell, who's with the Lord now. Now look, other than REV in front of them, they have nothing in common. Almost every Jewish person would say, I don't care that they don't agree with virtually anything. I am telling you, they're the reason why we fear conservatives. You see, the Reverend Jesse Jackson got heavily involved in politics. The Reverend Jerry Falwell got heavily involved in politics. And so the idea of bringing God into politics was dangerous in the history of the Jewish people. It's the reason that my grandparents came here, was to get out of that nationalistic / Christian idea. You know, the Jews are the Christ killers. The Jews are the reason our economy is bad. The Jewish people are the problem. Let's get rid of them. They came to a country that said it doesn't matter what you believe. If you are a law-abiding citizen, you can practice your religion. Well, now there's people calling, using God and calling God in reference to the country. That sends all kinds of signals to the Jewish community, and they fear it. They fear it with every fiber of their being. Look, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Crusades happened, and it happened to the Jewish people. The Inquisition happened in the name of Jesus Christ, and it happened to the Jewish people. The pogroms, Christ killers, my grandparents came as a result of that. The Holocaust. Look, I could show you quotes from Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the great reform preacher who, by God's grace, I always say, I stand in front of you as a person, as a Jewish person, I wish Martin Luther was never born. That's absolutely true. Not dividing myself, but from a Jewish perspective, I'm telling you, I wish he wasn't born. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm thankful. Thank God for Martin Luther. But when he wrote all those anti-Semitic statements, Adolf Hitler took them, used them, and used them to justify, theologically, reasons to kill Jewish people. And it worked. And Jewish people have never forgotten that. Anytime there's a smell in the air of nationalism with Christianity, American Jews freak out. They shudder. And I'll give you a great example of that a little bit later. Jewish people fear Christians. Proselytizing from a Jewish point of view is just a problem. Now, if I were to ask you, do you proselytize? Most of you would say, well, yes, I do. And if I were to talk to a Jewish person and they asked, do you proselytize? And you said, well, yeah, I do. You're in big trouble. Because the word proselytize to you and proselytize to them means two different things. If I say to you, oh, you proselytize, can you explain that? You say, sure. I tell people about Jesus Christ. I believe they need to hear about Jesus Christ and trust in him. If they choose not to believe, I pray for them. A Jewish person hears the word proselytize, and they think about Europe. They think about you believe or die. That's what they believe, that it carries with it the idea of force, of forced conversion. And it is a thing that they will do everything in the power they have to stop it. It's that important to them. It's not uncommon to hear the debate go on where a Jewish person will tell a Christian, look, you couldn't get us physically, so you want to wipe us out spiritually. That's the view that they have. But, interesting news, not all American Jewish people fear Christians or Christianity. This is significant because while a majority of Jewish people are liberal, there's something on the horizon that's happening, and it's happening quickly. There are some conservative Jewish people. Rabbi Daniel Lappin is founder of Torah Tradition. You can get them online. An incredible rabbi, British, originally from Britain. Here's what he says. I found it significant. We can only thrive, the rabbi says, under the conditions of law and order, and we are here to affirm that our allies in returning America to these conditions are Christian conservatives. Now, he said that back all the way in 1994. He was kind of one of the lone rabbis who was talking as a conservative. He was kind of by himself. That's changed. Maybe some of you have heard of Dennis Prager. He's on the radio. And Dennis Prager considers himself in a similar way the Apostle Paul would have considered himself, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, look, I'm a committed Jew, a religious Jew. He writes, he lectures, he taught Jewish history, he wrote a book about anti-Semitism, he was given awards from the Jewish press, he's an instructor in Torah, he's a man who has fought anti-Semitism all his life. Look, he's Jewish. He's as Jewish as you can get. And here's what Prager says. What's wrong with a person believing that it would be better if another person adopted their faith? Why is it laudable for a liberal to hope that conservatives convert to liberalism, but dangerous and hate-filled when a Christian hopes that Jews or anyone else will go to heaven by believing in Jesus? This is a Jewish man who's defending witnessing. He's defending it. Michael Medved, who I gave the example of that article that he wrote in July, Michael Medved says, a part of the problem with liberalism is that it denies the existence of evil. Remember, Jewish people have moved away from biblical principles. They've moved to humanism, basically. And so the idea of evil certainly is difficult for them. Michael Medved goes on, and his background, interesting, he goes to what's called Pacific Jewish Center because he lives on the West Coast. I went just, I don't know how far Cincinnati from Cleveland is, but I went to a synagogue called the Heights Jewish Center, very similar to the kind of synagogue that he helped found, and it reaches out to unaffiliated or disconnected Jews. And he would call himself a Baal Teshuvah, which really has the idea of a person who's repenting and coming back and embracing his Judaism, traditional Judaism. Medved is a conservative and defends conservatives. Now, Sarah Palin, if I were to say, and I've been around Jewish people, if I were to say Sarah Palin in a Jewish group, if somebody said that name, here's what would happen. I'm not kidding you. I mean physical shuddering. I mean, like, how could anybody even be around that kind of person? They have a horrible time dealing with it. Yet, there's a group. You can go online. Jewish Americans for Sarah Palin. And it says this. If you go online, JewsForSarah.com, Jewish Americans for Sarah Palin is an independent group of academic, religious, political leaders dedicated to promoting consideration of Governor Sarah Palin's political positions in the wider American Jewish community. In other words, America was founded certainly on the idea of freedom of expression of ideas and expressing them and debating them. From a liberal point of view, they don't want to hear her say anything. Interestingly enough, when she was governor, if you looked at her desk, and I've seen pictures of it, and it was the norm for her 2 years in that office, she had an American flag, an Alaskan flag, and a flag of Israel. Sarah Palin has always loved Israel and a strong supporter of Israel. But the liberal view is she's uncouth, unschooled, anti-science, anti-intellectual, a religious fanatic. And if you ask, as I said, they'll shiver, they'll shudder, they'll roll their eyes. It's true. I mean, that's what Kaylee Joy is saying is absolutely true. What's the liberal view of conservatives? Well, they're unschooled, anti-science, anti-intellectual, religious fanatics. The very idea, and by the way, and this is important, so what? So what? Because as we think biblically of all this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Look, is politics important? I would say politics is important to the extent that we, in God's sovereignty, have been given an opportunity to have a say in our government. I think it's a crime for a believer to not exercise his or her right to vote. In the history of the American evangelical church, there are some people who debate that. I've met people early in my Christian life who would never think of voting. God's going to take care of it. There are other things to do. I don't want to get involved. Regardless of where you are in that spectrum, I would be the first to say it's important that we understand that God is sovereign. He absolutely sovereign. And that whoever is in office is a person that God placed there. When George Bush and Al Gore were having issues as to who was going to be president, I know that God was not in heaven saying, oh, please let it be Bush, please let it be Bush. Nor was he saying, please let it be Al Gore, please. He wasn't doing either one. When George Bush was elected twice, God wasn't saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. The guy's having trouble talking. I just don't know what I'm going to do. When President Barack Obama was voted in, I don't think God said, oh, no, that one, what am I going to do now? I don't think that's the way it is. God is in complete control. How do I know that? Romans chapter 9 tells me that when Paul wrote in Romans 9, he's talking about Pharaoh, who he placed in his position. Nebuchadnezzar, one of the all-time awful people of all time, was placed there by God. Placed there by God. When we think of God's sovereignty and who he puts in office for his purpose, it's important for us to realize, look, liberal, conservative, I have my political views, all that's important. Jewish people, let me stick to this because I got to close. God doesn't care about politics. I want you to understand why Jewish people are liberal. I think that's important. God loves Israel. Christians love God. Therefore, Christians are called to love Israel, regardless of their politics. Oftentimes asked in the context of, from a Jewish point of view, looking at Friends of Israel, well, what if Jewish people never respond to your ministry? What will change? The answer, nothing. And if you're sharing or talking to a Jewish person and you're only doing so because you want to see them come to Christ and then you're going to move on, well, look, I hope they come to Christ too. But if you're doing that and move on and not really their friend, that's a problem. That's an integrity problem. We don't use relationships for the purpose of sharing the gospel. We become friends, stay friends, regardless of how they respond to the gospel. And especially as it relates to Israel. We stand with Israel because the Bible says so. We stand with the Jewish people because God loves them and we love him. And so if nobody responds, we'll still love Jewish people. And that's important. And if individuals who are believers love Jewish people and love the nation of Israel, and it's a genuine love, biblical love, that they have, Jewish people will see that and eventually respond to it. And we're seeing it happen today. Friends of Israel has been around since 1938. And we were established 10 years before the country of Israel became a country, before they even were a country. And we're committed to standing in solidarity with the Jewish people while we teach biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah. And should they come alongside us and see that it's true and embrace him, wonderful. If they don't, we'll still stand in solidarity with them. And so they're liberal. And they're liberal because they're afraid. And they've got history on their side. But we can, one person at a time, demonstrate to them they don't need to be afraid. We love them unconditionally because God loved them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can address a topic like this. And Lord, it reminds me afresh, there is a way which seems right to a man. I believe they're not only Jewish people, but Gentiles who are sincere, caring people, who believe that certain political ways are helpful to mankind and have a passion to help people. And for that, I'm thankful for their desire. And even if we disagree with their means, Father, we pray that you would send into our sphere of influence Jewish and Gentile people who right now are not interested in spiritual things, but as we walk with you and as we befriend them and talk to them, that through the power of the Spirit of God, you will influence them to the point where they will come to embrace Jesus as their Savior. Use us as individual. Use this building and the folks in it as a beacon and light to proclaim the truth in love to those around them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.